Hi guys, what's up? It's Brittany and welcome to One Hot Mess. All right guys, today we are going to read the last chapter of The Inner Work and chapter 11, True Freedom and Lasting Happiness. Relying on faith is either a stopping point in our evolution of consciousness or through the invitation of our spiritual wheel, the soul steps forward as the new source of grander truth in our sense of identity. This consequently unlocks an entire level of existence never before considered. While reason and logic represent the most evolved theme of consciousness within physical reality, it is ultimately still missing out on access to the true freedom and lasting happiness, which comes from acknowledging a spiritual reality. Without a spiritual context of reality, the logical mind is limited and cannot enjoy the bliss of trusting in a divinity beyond yourself. Thus, it will always be haunted by the ultimate fear of death and the unknown of going beyond the physical. All themes of consciousness previous to a spiritual reality could be characterized as seeing the body and mind as the source of consciousness or existence, whereas the themes past this point view consciousness as the source of our experiences of the body and mind. Consciousness is beyond time and space and who we really are, our true self, while the human body and mind are passing expressions of it. The perceived universe is more so being projected from within us rather than something we are separate from. The universe we perceive only exists within our own consciousness and is relative to our theme of consciousness. We are all perceiving different layers or dimensions of reality. From a grander, non-dualistic perspective, even the notions of inner and outer, this and that, or subject and object begin to merge and eventually are realized to be to all be one and the same. Such a realization is beyond reason and leads into the realms of the mystical and nonlinear. As much as it resists the unexplainable power of belief, the mind is forced to surrender to the fact that belief and faith actually dictate our experience of reality. This power of belief is most obviously demonstrated through the placebo effect and its defiance of reason and logic. The placebo effect is the phenomenon of giving a patient something that has no actual medicinal value, but the patient's faith and belief in its healing abilities create an actual healing effect. Logically speaking, this should be impossible, and yet it happens frequently enough that it has to be taken into consideration whenever introducing a new medical innovation or treatment. This is just one of the countless examples of the miraculous and mysterious power of belief, and further demonstrates that belief and faith trump reason and logic by methods that it can't explain or measure. At this incredible tipping point, consciousness, our unexplained spiritual essence, has officially been accepted as our identity. And we loosen our attachment on the external world, the realization of our spiritual nature brings with it exquisite, unlimited access to love and peace that is able to transcend physical circumstances, while the human ego lives in constant fear and lack because of the fear of physical survival. The spirit lives in the realms of true freedom and lasting happiness because it is eternal. And survival is therefore already guaranteed. Love and inner peace. Archetype, the spiritual seeker, triggers conditional love, root program, I am the source of love and peace, transcendence, unconditional love. With the dawning of spiritual awakening emerges the opportunity to access love and peace from the eternal spring within. Inner peace is experienced as the natural consequence of finally remembering the truth of our spiritual nature and finding gratitude beyond circumstances. Therefore, if all subjective states are an inner choice of perspective, it would only make sense to choose to see our existence from a perspective that evokes happiness, gratitude, love, and fulfillment. And as we align with our highest version of lovingness, it only benefits ourselves and others, therefore only perpetuating itself. It is worth noting that what the world considers love is typically referring to infatuation, possessiveness, pride, and attachment. True love is embodied in a lifestyle approach. As we move into the frequency of love, we become aware of the love and the goodness that is all around us. We just didn't recognize it before. True love does not need a reason to love. It just loves because that is its nature. In the frequency of love and inner peace, we start to finally experience the highest potentials of human reality. Everything can be perceived with love if we stretch ourselves beyond that linear mind's parameters. It's as if we are seeing the world for the first time, and in many ways we are. Colors appear more vibrant. We notice the dewy leaves glistening in the sunlight, as if revealing a glorious painting. Bumblebees are no longer a nuisance, but instead become messengers, giving us their blessing. We notice recurring numbers, sensing they carry a meaning, and license plates stand out, giving us signs. Nothing is just mundane or ordinary anymore. The trees are now dancing for us. The flowers are blooming just to show us how beautiful they are. Everything seems to be in synchronistic harmony. Everywhere we look, we see the magic of divine love, and life is forever transformed into heaven on earth through the newly discovered lens of love. The irony is the world didn't change. We did. In the frequency of love, everything has meaning and purpose and is communicating loving guidance to us, including our current situation and circumstances. Every challenge or life situation becomes an opportunity for further spiritual awakening. Every perceived setback becomes a redirection by divinity for our growth. There are no more accidents or coincidences. Everything becomes a part of the cosmic dialogue between the Creator and us. Love perceives a loving universe, and everything can be viewed with a positive angle, even when the meaning or purpose of an event in our lives is yet to be understood. We easily give it over to hope and faith, trusting that it will be revealed to us in due time. Because consciousness is vibrating in the frequency of love, it sees love everywhere it looks. As mentioned before, even debt is not an enemy of love. Love thanks. Thank you, God, for providing me a way to get ahead and providing me the way to pay this back tenfold. My future must be really bright. If it has perceived competition in work or confrontations in the world, it thanks. Thank you, God, for providing me the opportunity to surrender, forgive, and exercise my faith in goodness. All is as it should be. What will be. If this opportunity wasn't meant for me, it only means something even better is coming. From the perspective of love, we realize that all beings are an embodiment of a theme of consciousness, and therefore, what others bring forth only demonstrates their current nature, not our own. Hence the teaching, "By their fruits you shall know them." If all experience of life is based on an internal narrative, then that means that nothing is intrinsically objective or personally offensive in life. For example, even when targeted by anger, hate, or slander, it is only a projection of another's internal reality. all suffering is self-created through limiting root programs. This is why great spiritual teachers taught, pray for your enemies, because they bring themselves down by their own hand. These realizations allow us not to take the suffering of the world personally, which would just make us all fall back into limitation. Instead, we have immense empathy, compassion, and patience for the shadow side of humanity. Love respects everyone's own unique journey through the darkness. To any perceived adversary, love says, "Thank you for the opportunity to forgive and learn about myself. How can I help you out of your suffering? I see you. I understand you are hurting. I love you." Thus, compassion towards all life becomes a natural response to this theme. There is nothing love can't find gratitude for. Life is a gift, and most of it is out of our control. What we do seem to have control over, though, is our perspective of this gift of life. Therefore, the most loving perspective to take is that all is exactly as it should be and is unfolding for the greatest good, and that there is no need to judge or change anything. All is perfect and is without accident, mistake, or coincidence. There is a perfect justice, balance, and harmony that we may not be able to see with our limited human perspective, but we trust in that perfect, in the perfect consequences of creation that may stem vastly beyond this lifetime. Through believing and having faith in such perspectives, we notice dramatic increases in our overall levels of internal freedom, joy, and inner peace. All of love's existence is beautiful, hopeful, and based on radical faith. Doubt, worry, fear, anger, expectations, regret, pride, and greed are all things of the past because they are no longer attractive as a viable option. In love, there is enough to go around. Love isn't concerned with what it can get, but what it can give. In this state of consciousness, there is no longer fear of lack, and love wants to show graciousness and abundance to anyone suffering from this fear in hopes that they too will come to realize the generosity of the universe. Love moves beyond the physical realm and perceives energy and essence through intuition. Before the transition into spiritual reality, we might focus on linear details such as words, actions, facial expressions, voice inflection and tone, body language, or even someone's appearance when interacting. But when love interacts with another being, it is primarily experiencing their subjective energy or essence. It is the difference between seeing versus an intuitive knowing. Triggers. In the early onset of this theme, we must be aware of preferences creating a subconscious hierarchy around things we find beautiful and divine. Conditional love is a trigger for this theme, as it only experiences love in certain things, but not necessarily all things yet. This limitation is something to process and release in order to realize true freedom and lasting happiness beyond preferences. Someone in love will commonly think things like, "What a glorious life. Life is such an amazing gift. How beautiful blank is. Thank you, Creator, for all my countless blessings. I don't know why this is happening, but one day it'll all make sense. There is a higher reason for everything, even if it is beyond my understanding right now. I don't know why this didn't work out for me, but it must be guiding me to something even better. I have faith. I believe in the goodness of life. I have compassion and love for others. I choose to see the good in everyone. I have hope. I choose to surround myself with positive people and energy. They know not what they do. I distance myself from negativity. I have healthy boundaries. I love my life. I am at peace with whatever happens. Everything is working out for my benefit. How can I help you? What joy can I contribute to this situation?" Transcendence. To go from conditional to unconditional love, we have to expand our awareness of love to even include all that we would typically deem unlovable, tragic, or ugly in the world. This final step into true freedom and lasting happiness moves beyond preferences altogether. Instead, we explore the innocence of consciousness, which includes everything in existence. Unconditional love sees that our preferences are not better than our not preferences. All things are equally divine for simply existing and are a reflection of the infinite possibilities of creation. Unconditional love is only realized by letting go of the mind's attachments to hierarchies of dualities, this versus that, love versus unlovable, happiness versus suffering, positive versus negative, life versus death, best versus worst. Attachment to preferences will always place conditions on love and keep it limited due to the perception of a hierarchy between two opposing polarities. So long as something could be better than this, the ego will always be able to create suffering through resistance to what is, free of all preference or opinion. In order to be free from the bondage of dualities, we have to see that it is all one, non-duality. Everything in existence is all divinity. It is all the same, one. The ego just creates the illusion of separation because of its preferences and attachments. Thus, it is not that we develop the ability to love the unlovable. We simply let go of the notion of unlovability in the first place. All labels come from an arbitrary ego perspective. Beyond the labeling of preference, all is actually perfect as it is. Nothing to say, ineffable. In a unified, interconnected universe of innate consequence, all is exactly how it is supposed to be without possible accident, mistake, or error. To resist otherwise is to fight the entire universe being what it is. The limited ego resists love and focuses on all the proof for how unloved it is, whereas spirit focuses on all the proof for how loved it is. Both perspectives will technically feel right and justified, but the experience and consequences of each will be drastically different. All humanity could be in utter bliss of existence in an instant if we all accepted this effortless choice, for it is absolute bliss to live knowing all is perfectly aligned by divine love and not a single hair is out of place. All we must do is surrender resistance and accept it. Everyone has access to divine unconditional love. Nothing is being withheld. True freedom and lasting happiness is the state of finally returning home to utter security, bliss, joy, love, peace, gratitude, and ineffable all. Whatever it took to realize the truth of divine unconditional love is seen as irrelevant and worth the cost. For if that's what it took to bring us to the moment now, then it was perfect and exactly what our consciousness needed to awaken. All of us are on our perfect journey of remembering just how loved we are by divinity. To exist is to already be utterly loved beyond comprehension. Yet, we seem to enjoy the hero's journey through comprehension. I'm sorry, I messed up again, guys. We seem to enjoy the hero's journey through the relativity of not knowing. Thus, we explore all that is of our not self, only to return to what was always there. We just didn't see it yet. Unconditional love compassionately understands that some souls need to wander into the dark confusions of shame and guilt in order to prove that they are still infinitely loved, while others accept it more readily and avoid the temptations of the ego's defiance of divinity. Either way, it is all perfect and only revealing what is eternally available to all. However, divine love cannot force itself and will only come when invited. Hence, this writing is an invitation to true freedom and lasting happiness. New narrative. All is love, all is divine, all is perfect, all is self, all is equally lovable just for existing. Divinity is in everything and everyone. Preferences are only coming from the ego. Nothing is better or worse. There is only external existence. There is no such thing as death. The void is an illusion and not an actual reality. Consciousness is all that there is. All experience is within my consciousness, and my consciousness is pure love. Consciousness is free to choose to accept love or to reject it. I can choose to accept eternal love. Okay, so now we're going to read the last section of the book, which is True Freedom and Lasting Happiness. Archetype, the Saint, Root Program, All is Love, All is Divine, All is Perfect. What if everything is working out in the absolute best way it possibly could for you right now? What if this is your dream life? What if divine love is talking to you right now, reminding you to accept how loved you are? What if life is constantly guiding you? What if you could enjoy a life full of utter bliss and fulfillment right now? As we explore the theme of love and inner peace, it naturally becomes unconditional by its very nature. As we consistently invite love and inner peace through discipline our spiritual wheel, we will gradually experience them in all things, eventually perpetuating their continuance to the point of utter bliss. As we devote ourselves to actualizing true freedom and lasting happiness, every hidden attachment to limiting themes that we may still struggle with arises to be healed and transcended through our spiritual devotion to choose differently. Thus, the acceptance of true freedom and lasting happiness requires courage to face our hidden attachments and fears, seeing our ego inheritance with the impartiality of neutrality, willingness to exercise self-discipline, to see our inner work through acceptance that all is as it should be for reasons unknown to us, reason and logic to see the love as the wisest and most enjoyable approach to life. And as we embody love and inner peace, it evolves into unconditional true freedom and lasting happiness. This emergence of true freedom and lasting happiness is the dawning of self-realization, the ecstatic bliss that all great teachers have been pointing humanity to. However, the awakening of our true self is not about creating another altar, spiritual ego. The ego does not become enlightened. The ego does not become the true self. Instead, the true self is revealed as we shed attachment to the ego by turning away from its opinions and limitations of reality. We discover the self within others is revealed to be the same self within us, and all existence shines forth as a glorious, unexplainable creation of the divine I. When consciousness expands to this level of awareness, we see our lives as a continuous expression of divinity. Our sense of personal will eventually dissolves into the divine will, and it is as we are watching a movie from the eyes of an avatar body, the divine reality. The body just goes about its business according to its destiny and plays the role it's supposed to play with the grand scheme of things. The words just come out, inspirations arise when necessary. The body runs itself and life flows effortlessly, all without attachment to the sense of me doing anything. We exist in the eternal now, and the state of presence becomes our very waking moment. All of life is a glorious, ineffable creation of the Most High. All of existence is rich with gratitude, appreciation, and silent awe that may or may not be expressed. At first, the radiance of awakening to such a blissful state is overwhelming. Tears of joy may be common, but as the state ripens, it eventually settles into awareness and transcends expression and is an inner tranquility of eternal satisfaction. The highs and lows, the suffering and the joy, the pain and the pleasure, all of it is seen as a divine experience of relativity. Therefore, creating the joy of a hero's journey, giving meaning, purpose, and a sense of wondrous exploration to human life. True freedom and lasting happiness comes from awakening to the realization that it is not the perception of opposites that is the source of our suffering. It is attachment to them being real that is causing us to fall from Eden. From a higher perspective, it is actually all the same self. There are no actual opposites or dualities that contend with each other, only the perception of such that the human mind created. For example, there's only divine love or rejection of it, which the mind has labeled as evil. But this labeling process of the mind has created the illusion of something actually separate from divine love, which is only a mental projection. There is only divinity or rejection of divinity. There is nothing actually separate from happiness or rejection of it. Suffering does not exist in and of itself. Human suffering is the consequence of adopting a limited perspective of our circumstances and becoming attached and identified with them. Finally, there is only external existence or denial and rejection of it. Death or non-existence is only an imagination of the mind, not an actual reality. To exist is to exist always. Notice in all of these examples, there is only one variable that we either accept or reject. And so it is with the divine mystery, oneself that is only being perceived as separate out of choice. All perceptions of dualities are perceived opposites and are just arbitrary points on a spectrum of awareness that humanity accidentally mistook as actual realities. Therefore, as we awaken to the true freedom and lasting happiness, we finally can affirm that there is only freedom and happiness, only love and divinity, only eternal and existence. All perceptions otherwise are just layers of resistance to the truth. Unconditional love and non-duality is the consciousness of true freedom and lasting happiness. It's completely liberated from attachment to the limiting themes of consciousness, and its experience of life is truly heaven within the Garden of Eden restored. Everything is lovable, and everything is seen as divinely perfect just for existing. All existence is permeating with silent bliss. All the happiness, love, and fulfillment we have been searching for our entire life is eternally realized. There can be no more resistance. Nothing could ever be wrong or out of place. All is forgiven. All is accepted and is finally understood as an existence of the same divine self. We see that we are one with all that is. As unconditional love becomes a permanent state of being, we embody a saintly energy and are constantly emulating love, loving frequencies of peace and harmony to all of life, regardless of it seems to be the most tragic or the most blessed. Our circumstances may not even change at this point. We could have the same bills, same job, same relationship, but yet our view of them will be forever transformed as the bliss of our life is realized to be completely internal. Yet it's worth noting that as our internal world shifts, our external world usually changes with it. The difference now, however, is that changing the external circumstances won't be the goal or focus anymore. True freedom and lasting happiness is the ultimate state of grace, for all of life is loved, appreciated, and admired without measure or possible restraint. All humanity is capable of this realization. In fact, it is our inevitable destiny. All things of love, joy, peace, and freedom are based in the truth of the divine. All things based in negativity, control, or force are limiting, which is to say, based in ego delusions, and to be avoided because they bring unpleasant consequences. Intuition and inner honesty are significant tools to be used to align us with our highest life purpose and keep us safe. There still is a need for spiritual discernment of the themes of consciousness in order to make sure the innocent bliss of this state is not taken advantage of. For example, you can love and appreciate a wild scorpion, but also respect that it is safe to keep your distance. This is the difference between naive innocence and wise innocence, the difference between the child and the sage. Follow the heart always, and there can be no possible error. Our intuition does not lie, however, the mind can be misled. All guidance will be revealed if we have the eyes to see and ears to hear. Have faith and trust the divinity that sustains your existence, and know that all will be provided. You are always being guided to exactly where you're supposed to be and doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Consistently surrender any resistance to every moment, trusting that divine love is in control and with you always. There is nothing to figure out, nothing to contend with, nothing to earn, only surrender and trust in the goodness of life. What if everything is working out for the absolute best? Allow it to be revealed to you, and it will be so. The final surrender. Transitioning into nonlinear spiritual reality requires letting go of the belief systems that our mind has been reinforcing our entire lifetime. To let them go now seems absolutely foolish to the ego mind. It tries to convince us, I've kept us alive this whole time. Why would you abandon me now? I'm the reason for all your progress. You are being irresponsible. If you stop listening to me, you will die without me. I am you. I've been doing all these things for us. I'm your best friend. I've been thinking all these plans and keeping us safe from enemies. You can't trust or believe anything other than me. You're being irrational. You need me. To go beyond the ego as the source of our life is to consciously accept the notion of death and face the essential fear of a perceived end. The ego can only imagine death as a void of nothingness, whereas the true self experiences death as only a transition from the perspective of a spiritual reality. What we call death is no different than waking up each morning. Yet, because what happens after death cannot be reported, proven, and verified through objective experimentation, the ego refuses to step into absolute faith and belief in a spiritual eternal reality. The irony of the ego is that it actually already lives by faith and doesn't realize it. Faith that it knows everything, anything at all. Further still is a realization that the ego itself is an illusionary identity that we innocently mistook as who we really are, like the actor getting lost in their role. Now, having traversed and released attachment to the themes of consciousness through practicing the inner work, we return to our original state of existence, consciousness, bliss, no longer attached to the mind and body as me, but rather as expressions of creation. From the perspective of true freedom and lasting happiness, all has been unfolding of its own, and all we were responsible for was the intention and invitation to have the truth revealed. The final surrender requires us to sincerely admit, I don't know how I exist, which opens the door to self-realization. What if time itself is an illusion? What if there is no actual start and end? What if existence is actually beyond time and space? What if eternity is right now? What if all perception of duality and a physical universe is a holographic projection within the unexplainable essence of our existence, consciousness? What if there are no separations actually possible? What if love is something we can trust in and give our survival over to? What if divinity is real and the only reason we exist at all? And what if that divinity is the epitome of infinite, unconditional, ineffable love and goodness? What if the mind has never actually been doing or thinking anything and all things have been given? What if there is an essence of goodness and infinite love that is pervading the entire universe, and it is the very core of our being, guiding all things? What if the best case scenario was true and life is a glorious expression of perfect love and goodness? What if we are all one with divinity as an extension and expression of the Most High? What if divinity is speaking to us right now, inviting us to accept our spiritual reality? What if there were nothing to do, nothing to forgive, nothing to heal? What if we are all liberated now? Awakening humanity. Once we realize the eternal bliss of our true freedom and lasting happiness, the only thing left to do now is to invite and share it with others that are seen as expressions of the same self. Thus, to love and heal others is to only love and heal ourselves, which is why this writing comes forth as a loving invitation, so that all may have the opportunity to remember the bliss and joy of true freedom and lasting happiness. We invite you to extend this same invitation to everyone you know and love, so that all humanity may decide for themselves to put down their struggle with life and wake up to the glory of their divine existence. Ultimately, there is no need, rush, and nothing to be forced. Within an eternal reality, all is exactly as it should be and always in perfect timing. The invitations of love we extend to the world are simply out of the joy of giving and serving. And there's a little quote in the back, and it says, may all beings everywhere be happy and free, and may the thoughts, words, and actions of my own life contribute in some way to that happiness and to that freedom for all. The end, guys. We finally finished it. The inner work, an invitation to true freedom and lasting happiness, which was written by Matt and Ash, also known as the Yoga Couple. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed this book. And like I said before, if you guys would like me to read another book and have an idea of something you'd like me to read, please email at onehotmesszero@yahoo.com or onehotmesszeropod@gmail.com and let me know what book you would like me to read. All right, thanks, guys. Okay, guys, that is it for today, but thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to hit that follow button, and please share One Hot Mess with a friend. I'd greatly appreciate it, and I will talk to you guys next time. Have an amazing day.